Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. John the Baptist was the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40, and he knew it. John knew that he was that voice crying in the wilderness. He knew that he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. John knew the book of Isaiah, and he knew his place within it. Yet, he was the Lord's prophet, and as Jesus says, even more than a prophet. But then, John's life took an unexpected turn for the worse. Do you remember what happened? It really all started when he preached a sermon on sexual immorality. He preached against the divorce and the adulterous remarriage of Herod the Tetrarch to his brother's wife. As a result, he found himself shackled in prison, locked in the king's dungeon. So John went from being that famous, bold preacher that people came out to hear in the wilderness to that forgotten prisoner chained against a wall in a dark, dank dungeon. But no problem. The prophet Isaiah had said that the coming one would set the prisoners free. John knew what was written in Isaiah 61, that the Messiah would proclaim liberty to the captives, opening the prison to those who were bound. In another passage in Isaiah, the Messiah promises to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, freeing those who sat in darkness. And again, in another place in Isaiah, it says the Messiah will say to the prisoners, "Come out," and they will. John's captivity then, not a problem. Yes, John was in the dungeon. But he knows these Bible verses from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he just knows that Jesus will come and break him out of prison, just as it was foretold. But then, Jesus never comes. Days go by, weeks, months, and Jesus keeps on preaching, going from place to place, uninterrupted, and he makes no effort to come and rescue John. And this confuses John, perhaps disappoints, disenchants, and even depresses John. And suddenly those doubts begin to whirl in his mind. So John sends a message to Jesus through his disciples asking this question: "Are you the one to come, or shall we look for another?" Which I believe was John's way of saying, "Look, are you going to get me out of this prison or not? Are you going to be the one who sets the captives free or not? Are you the one who burns the evildoers as stubble, who makes the good guys win and the bad guys lose, or not?" He ends his letter, "I'll be waiting here in prison for your reply. Sincerely, John," the guy still stuck in prison. And then Jesus replies, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And then he ends his reply to John saying, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus is paraphrasing Isaiah 35, which says, say to those with an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. And then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing with joy. Jesus is saying, John, the promises of Isaiah are being fulfilled. I am the promised one. I am the one who is coming to save you. I know things are bad now, but just be patient and hold on. Salvation is on its way. And I'm sure this comforted John. I'm sure he went, what was I thinking? Yeah, he's the promised one. He's the one who heals the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the poor, and even the dead. What was I thinking? Of course he's the promised one. I just need to be more patient. And I'm sure John found some comfort in those thoughts, even though he was all alone in that miserable dungeon. But again, Jesus never came. Oh, the daughter of Herodias danced. Herod made a foolish oath to her that she could have almost whatever she wanted. The seductive young woman, after dancing, then asks for John's head on a platter. And slash. And that was that. Jesus never came. John's life was over. And it was over without the vindication that he had longed for. So here we see John, someone who celebrated the first Advent, who waited for the Savior, who expected Jesus to come and to save him, and it never happened. So what does all of this mean for our celebration of Advent? Well, my friends, Jesus did come to save John, just not in the way John wanted or any of us expected. You see, Jesus did have a rescue mission planned out for John, but it didn't take place at storming Herod's palace. It took place at the cross. The Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of evil that rule over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And likewise, Jesus fought not against a slavery to free us from a physical jail cell, but from a cosmic form of slavery to sin and death and devil. Our Lord fought for John, but his fight was not against Herod, but against the spiritual and demonic authorities. And by his cross, Christ Jesus released John from the true prison, the prison of death that held him, just not in the way John expected. For the prison that our Lord opened is our enslavement to sin and to the fear of death. And the authorities that he defeated, the devil and the demons, who accuse us day and night before the throne of God. And the final enemy, Jesus conquered death, accomplishing this by his own resurrection from the dead. So Jesus did save John, but it was not a temporary salvation from the tyranny of an earthly king or from a prison with bars of iron. Rather, it was an eternal solution. An eternal salvation from sin, death, and devil, a salvation that will last forever and ever. But make no mistake, Jesus did not want John to stumble on this point. John's deliverance was coming, but it would not be a deliverance from the struggles and the sorrows of this life. And so Jesus concludes by saying to John, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Isn't that an interesting phrase? Blessed is the one who is not offended or scandalized by Jesus. What a weird thing to say. And yet, in the life experiences of a Christian, it makes a lot of sense. Sometimes following Jesus in this life disappoints us. Sometimes those in the church disappoint us. Sometimes life just disappoints us. Perhaps we were expecting a better life because we are Christians. Thinking this way causes us to make all kinds of wrong assumptions. We think, well, maybe if I go to church more often, I'll be a happier person. Or maybe if I read my Bible more, I'll meet with more outward success. Or maybe if I bring my family to church, we will stop fighting so much. Or maybe the church can fix my depression or my disappointment or my disenchantment with life. It is when we feel as if Christ or as if his church has let us down and has not come through for us that we find ourselves scandalized by Jesus. Sometimes we assume that Jesus is going to deliver us from some extreme problem or difficulty or challenge that we're facing. But this imaginary Jesus that we sometimes dream of never comes. For even after belonging to Christ, life is still filled with heartache. Even after attending church, we can find ourselves anxious and restless. Even after being part of the church, our family is still dysfunctional, and our life experiences sometimes depressing. And so we are tempted to blame God. We say to God, "I thought you were the coming one, the one who was going to rescue me from all this. Maybe I should have placed my trust in another God." But if we will just pause and reflect, we might come to another conclusion. It's not that Jesus isn't going to save you, but Jesus will save you in his time and in his way. And the problems Jesus fixes are not always those daily struggles and earthly woes, but they are most assuredly our eternal foes. John the Baptist knew the promise of Isaiah, but I think he forgot one key chapter. Isaiah 53, in which Jesus himself was called despised and rejected, a man of sorrows who had experienced all kinds of grief. And then it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Ah, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. and with his stripes we are healed. For all we have gone astray like sheep. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Friends, this Jesus is your Savior who comes to save you. In fact, he has already come many years ago to die on the cross, forgiving your sins and declaring you righteous, which is your deepest need. But that's not all. The same Jesus comes to you today through his preached word and in the sacrament. And it's true that Jesus will not always fix your problems at home or at work, but he has come to fix the real problem of sin that lurks behind every human problem that we will face. In Advent, as Christians, we also fix our heart on this Jesus who will come again to right every wrong. And it is at that time that he will fix every problem, that he will wipe away every tear, and that he will undo all of the pain and the heartaches of this life, and he will raise the dead. Therefore, say to your anxious heart, be strong. Do not fear. Your God is coming. He will come with vengeance. He will come to save you. Your deliverer is coming. So wait for the Lord. As Isaiah says, blessed are those who wait for the Lord. And as you wait, blessed are you if you are not offended by the manner in which Jesus chose to deliver you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.